Amen. I'm glad he is, Brother Weiss. Some of y'all may have saw the story yesterday. Let me get this button mashed here. Yesterday you may have saw the story where the woman died. Anybody see that on the news? Where the woman died and she was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. And she had so many toxins in her body was busting out and lesions, wounds were just opening all over. And she lived in Hong Kong. I guess she still lives there now. She looked like an American woman. That's irrelevant. She was in a coma. The doctor told her, said, 2 months max, you won't ever come out of it. And she was in that coma and she died. But she was aware of everybody that was in the room with her. And as she passed away, she was talking about what she witnessed. Nobody saw the story? Very interesting. This lady was 50-ish, somewhere in there, and she was sharing with it on the newscast what had happened. And she talked about how she felt and how the joy, just the unexplainable joy. You could see her eyes getting wet when she was telling it. And all of these things were going on, Brother Donnie, and she was witnessing this crossing over. And she was under the impression she could have went either way. I thought about what Brother Ike shared after his experience. And she felt like she could have went either way. And she didn't talk about any great lights or any of those things she saw, but she said just the joy that overwhelmed her. Just the bliss, just unexplainable bliss. And so as she came back, they revived her, God revived her. But as she came back, the most amazing thing about that is she was totally healed of cancer.
Amen. Amen.
Now they were showing pictures, brother. She was down to 86 pounds and was consumed and all these wounds opening up in her body. But not only did she cross over and see the other side to some degree, but when she came back, she said it really didn't matter to her if she'd come back or not, but when she came back, she was completely healed.
Amen.
And her physician flew from the States to Hong Kong to witness this, to see this. It wasn't that he didn't believe it, but he had to put something, he had to do something with these medical charts. And so he flew from the States to Hong Kong to witness what he saw. And, you know, the only thing about that, of course, these newscasts are kind of short and they don't give you a whole lot of time. Of course, there's a whole lot of things they'd rather you not say anyway. But I thought that was a pretty good place to testify.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, they didn't get into that. They went to the commercial break. But the most amazing story of how God worked, not only did he bring her back, but she'd come back completely healed. And you'd no sign of cancer today. That's an amazing God.
Amen.
And so it's a tribute to prayer, no doubt. You know, don't you find it amazing, the most offensive thing? I apologize for being hoarse and raspy. Hoarse and raspy this week. Last Sunday morning, couldn't say a word. My wife was quite happy about that. And so, but y'all all dealing with the same stuff, I know. And I don't think I'm contagious at all. Just the old raspy voice you got to deal with. And so, we'll get what we can't preach, we'll quit. Brother Rick, you be ready. So if I quit, just come on. Don't wait on something else to happen because I probably can't say no more. But I don't want to be very long and lengthy. I apologize for being too long and lengthy. Sometimes preachers get carried away, and I do apologize for that. 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, if you got your Bible, look there. But we were talking about these things, and of course we got to hear Brother Donnie preach last week. And enjoyed that out of the 27th chapter of Matthew. Thank God for the website. I appreciate that. And I pray you utilize that when you're not able to be here. But we are thankful for it. It's a real blessing. Get the broadcast in just a short amount of time. Don't take Brother Donovan long to get them up. And so we appreciate that and the work that they do. Appreciate prayers. And I'm glad Brother Ike is recovering. Amen. God is bringing him along. Well, we're talking about some of these things. 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter. We're going to look here at a thought or two I believe God would have us see. And we're going to begin reading in the 9th verse. The 9th verse, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I was saying something about this, and I stopped for a thought there just a moment and lost my thought. You know, I told you last time I missed my turn. Well, I didn't miss my turn today, Brother Larry, but I left my belt. Now I can't pull my coat off because I left my belt. And trust me, you don't want me to pull my coat off when I left my belt. I'll go ahead and give you an advance. See, you don't have to have it all figured out. Quit acting like you got to get it all together to get right with God. You just don't. And so ain't that the way you are? And so 1 Chronicles 9, let's read about a fellow by the name of Jabez. And Jabez was more honorable, 1 Chronicles 4:9, he was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Father, thank you for the reading of the word. Now speak it. Speak it to hearts and speak it real. God, I pray you'd illuminate and anoint. I pray you'd come by and breathe this word, God. Cast it in our heart. God, I pray that, Father, it would find a lodging place, that our faith would be increased. God, our prayer life would forever be changed. And Lord, that we would see it from the great men and women of God through your word. God, that you do honor prayer. And God, you do work on our behalf, and we trust you now to do this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. We were talking about the most offensive thing that you could do today. Of course, we find it, whether it's in public forum, newscasts, all this kind of coverage that we have. We got all the greatest things, technology now. We got all the coverage. But the most offensive thing anywhere, anytime is not religion. That's not it. It's not, because we know they can talk about Hanukkah. They can talk about all of these things that take place. They can talk about the Mormon faith. They can talk about all of these things. And they're very fluent with the name of God, aren't they? God does not offend them. Have you ever noticed that? People are not offended by the name of God. The Islamics worship God. They're not offended by that. But the thing that offends society today is the same thing that's always offended society. If you go back to the Pharisees and Sadducees, it was not religion, it was the name of Jesus. Yeah. And so the most offensive character is the one God has demanded that you trust. Isn't that amazing? God's demanded that all mankind trust Jesus for absolute salvation. And so we know people, they talk about God of all the universe, and they worship the God of all, I'm quoting, the God of all the universe. That's not him. And some of those same ones worship Hiram. Hiram is the one that they pay their homage to. It's not him. And so it's not Muhammad. And it's none of these others. It's not the Pope. Listen, the Catholics are not offended. They were never offended about people having what Roman Catholicism taught. They were offended about them having a copy of the Scriptures. That, thank God, we can hold today because of those like Wycliffe and Tyndale and here Gutenberg. God inspired him, of all things, to create a printing press that we could have a copy of the Scriptures. And if it was up to them today, you still would not have a copy of the Scriptures. And so this is where we are. And so God, why? Because of the name of Jesus. It's the most offensive name, and it's the most offensive thing taught today, but God's demanded. And Paul said he has commanded all men everywhere to do what? Repent. Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance God once winked at, but now, is what Paul preached, he now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And so we find it. What put those men, what made the great saints of God, human lampposts on the streets of Rome, on the streets of England, what made people, saints of God, human lampposts, where they literally would light the streets of those cities with those saints of God that believed this word, one thing, and that was the offensive name of Christ. If they would just denounce him, it'd all be all right. They could believe whatever they wanted to. If they'd only denounce him, but they wouldn't. I was reading a little bit. I am very interested, as you probably already figured out, very interested in the pilgrims. And I watch as these people flee in the dark of night. Some of them are separated from their menfolk, the women and children, are separated from their husbands and their men, and they are literally hid up in the creek banks and in the river swamps, waiting to load a boat now, when those men are captured, and they've already forsaken all, they've sold what they could sell, and they've left what they couldn't sell. It's all behind them. We're going to the new world and worship God as God has led us. And they forsook all, and not on one occasion or two occasions, but different occasions, many, multiple, did they lose all that they might be free to worship. And now we're in the greatest, freest country in the world, and we're free to worship, but yet men are held bound by the sins of their own heart, and they can't worship. You know, we can't worship until we're freed, brother.
Amen.
Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And until we're made free, we cannot worship. We can't. And so, that's off the point. We're not talking about that today. Side note. Jabez, watch what happened to the ninth verse. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. That's all the word says about him. And his mother called his name Jabez because she bare him with some sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, I want you to see this in the 10th verse, one of the most powerful verses in the Word of God. Men have wrote books about this Jabez prayer. And we talk about Jabez prayer. I've never read the book. I'm sure it's a good book. I haven't read it. I trust it is. I've seen it circulate among some of our friends. Never heard anything bad about it. So nothing about the book do I know, but the title. But I want to tell you, Jabez's prayer is older than a book. I'm not so interested in what's in the book as I am interested in what's in the prayer.
Amen.
And Jabez, watch what happened. The word said he called on the God of Israel. Do you know that all good things began when men call upon God? I like this. Remember over the Genesis, the 4th chapter and the 26th verse. Remember Seth has come along by now. Abel and Cain, you know, they duked it out and Cain won. We know that wasn't a fight. Of course, he just slew his brother. And so he didn't have an AR-15 when he done it. And he didn't have a handgun. And he didn't have a big clip or a little clip. He had a big bat or a sharp knife, one of the two. But he slew his brother, and gun control was not the issue. And so here we find it that as he slew him, God gave him another son by the name of Seth. And Seth has come along. And the 26th verse of the 4th chapter said, it was along this time that men began, I like this brother, men began to call upon the Lord. They began to call upon God. And so do you remember the time when you began to call upon Him? Do you remember, you know, people, we find this to be true, that people that are not needy people do not need a Savior. They're still trusted in something else. And so needy people, I like this about the gospel, it does not apply to those that do not need it. You said, preacher, I thought the gospel was to all mankind. It's to those who will come. It's to those. Jesus said words like this, if any man hear my voice, let him come. And you say, well, everybody in the sound of his voice heard his voice. That wasn't who he was talking to. He was talking to those that could hear it with the heart. When God awakens the heart of man, he'll begin to call upon God. She'll begin to call upon him. When God wakes up their old dark heart, that's when the light comes on. See, Jesus used terminology like this in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew. He said, no man can know the Father, but to him whomsoever the Son will reveal it. Jesus said, if I don't reveal you to the Father, you will never know the Father. And then in that same passage, he said words like this, neither can no man know the Son. See, there's a relationship we have to have, and it's with the Father and the Son. But the odd thing is we can't know the Father if the Son don't reveal him. And we can't know the Son if the Father does not reveal him. It's not getting saved when we get ready. We better get rid of that thought. That will never work. No man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up the last day. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, to whom the Son will reveal him. So, how do we find God? We have to be introduced. We have to by the Savior. Watch now. He called upon God, and this is what he said. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. I like that. Jabez wanted the blessing of God. You know, there's a difference between when we want something and we want God.
Yeah.
I read about those that want something And their prayer list is really not a prayer list, it's a wish list. I wish I had. I wish this was that and that was over there and all these things, but that's not what Jabez prayed. He prayed and he called on God and he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." He said, "I need the blessing." You know, Peter taught about the blessing in Acts 3:26. He said, "Unto you first, God." He's talking to those Jews. And he talked about the blessing plan. Everybody today wants the blessing plan. They'll send $20, get them an anointed handkerchief, and get on the blessing plan. $1,000. I'm amazed at these prosperity boys. And you know, they always sow in seed. Want you to sow some seed. You sow some seed. Do you always notice that the sowing of seed goes to their address? Have you figured that one out? And so you're doing the sowing, and they're doing the reaping, right? That's what's happening. That's what's going on. But if you'll sow the seed, though, there'll be some reaping, I promise you. And so here in this blessing plan, Peter talked about the blessing plan in Acts 3:26, and he said, "Unto you first God, having sent his son Jesus." What did he do? He sent him to bless you. Here's the blessing plan. In turning away every one of you away from his iniquity. The blessing plan is when the Savior saves us and he blesses us. That's the prayer of Jabez. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." Watch what he prayed. "Enlarge my coast." Now, is he talking about his landlines? Is he talking about his ministry? Jabez doesn't elaborate, but he knows he wants God's blessings on his life. I want to tell you, when our hearts desires for God's blessings in our life, listen closely. All things change when our heart becomes his heart and we say, "God, here it is," and we forfeit it all and surrender all and wave the white flag and pray God's blessings upon our heart and listen to his voice. See, all things are ours, aren't they? Somebody said something earlier about answering prayer. Does God answer prayer? He absolutely does. And our prayer, when our prayer is real prayer from a real heart, a real burden, a real desire, and a real attitude to follow after God, that's the blessing plan. It's much like James 1:5. I said something about this earlier today for the radio. In James 1:5, I think we elaborated a little bit about it last time. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men," how? "Liberally, and upbraideth not." God said there will be no reproving when you come to me for prayer. I'll never reprove you. Come to me for wisdom. I'll never reprove you. How does he give? He gives liberally and upbraideth not. He'll never get on you. Sometimes we won't ask our parents for something because, well, last time I did that, they got on me a little bit. They upbraided me. God won't upbraid you. He won't. He upbraideth not. He wants you to have wisdom. Isn't this amazing? That God wants you to be as wise as he is. Yeah. Now, we'll never get there. That's what he wants. He said, "If you lack it, ask for it. Right. If you need it, ask it." And how does he give? "Liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith," verse 6, "nothing wavering." Why come? "Because he that wavereth is as a wind of the sea, and he's tossed and driven." That's what he is. And he said, "Let not that man," or woman, we've got to be gender neutral, "let not that person think they shall receive anything from the Lord."
That's right.
See, if there's wavering in our heart, Brother Larry, if we say, "Well, I know he said it, but he wouldn't dare do it for me." You know, that's what we're talking on the inside. But we say, "Oh, yeah, preacher, I know God can do it, but I just don't think he'd do it for me. He never has done much for me." That ain't faith.
Amen.
That's doubt. Brother, we got to get the doubt out. We got to. Yeah. I read it in Mark the 6th chapter where Jesus could do no mighty works there save he healed a few sick folk. Healing a few sick folk wasn't nothing for the Lord. He said, "I can do no mighty works." Now, if we went out here today and said, "Well, God healed some sick people," we got to McDonald's and said, "God healed some sick people down at the church," everybody say, "Whoa, what a blessing." But Jesus didn't even count that as nothing. He said he could do no mighty work except he saved a few sick folk, healed them. But he could do no mighty works there. Why come? Because of their unbelief. Unbelief. Doubt stops the flow of God. Doubt hinders the working of God. God doesn't want to work around doubt. He don't want to be around doubt. And it stops him.
Amen.
And he marveled. Sixth chapter, book of Mark. He marveled.
Yeah.
What kind of unbelief makes the Lord marvel? Wouldn't you hate to go down in the Word of God, in the Hall of Fame pages of God's Word, as the town that would not believe Him? And not only would you not believe Him, but your doubt so amazed Jesus, He marveled at it. That's a bad place to be, ain't it? Jabez wasn't like that. He said, oh, that you'd have blessed me indeed and enlarged my coast. I ain't hear Jabez now. I never met him, but I ain't hear him now. And that thy hand might be with me. I want to say something about that, that you would enlarge my coast. I don't know exactly what he meant by that, but I got a pretty good idea. Because Deuteronomy, you don't have to look it up now, the 19th chapter, the 8th verse, said something about this. Moses said, God's going to give you three cities of refuge. And if you go over and take the land God promised you, that was the problem with Israel. They would not take all the land God gave them. Them Philistines are a thorn in their flesh because they live beneath their privilege. God gave them that land. Go back and read it sometime. God gave them from Jordan, from Euphrates, all the way to the great sea westward. That was the Mediterranean, sir. And the last time I looked, those Philistines are right there on the banks of the Mediterranean. And God said, take that too. What he said. But they wouldn't do it. They live beneath their privilege. Sound familiar? Where do we live, brother? Beneath our privilege. We won't ask Him. We won't trust Him. Jesus said it, plain as anybody's ever preached it. Matthew 7:7, ask it shall be given to you. Seeking you shall find. Knocking it shall be opened to you. He said, well, I ain't so sure He meant that, alright? Well, let's back it up with 8th verse. He said to everyone that asketh, what happens to him? He receiveth. And to him that knocketh, what happens to him? It's open. Hallelujah. And to him, what was the last one? I lost my thought. Asketh, receiveth, and to him that knocketh. Right. And so unto him that knocketh, it shall be open. See, Christ confirmed what he said in the 7th verse with the 8th verse. He said, ask, I will do it.
Yes.
Well, that's a blessing. And Moses said, when you get on the other side, God's going to give you three cities for sure. And if he enlarge your coast, that's what Jabez prayed. If he enlarge your coast, he'll give you some more cities beside them. Cities of refuge. And he did do that. But Jabez is praying. This is long after that. Jabez is praying. And so Jabez is not out there, you know, in La La Land when he says, God, enlarge my coast. He probably read that out of the writings of Moses. Enlarge my coast, God. You won't offend the Lord with that, will you? I'm going to show you. Watch it. Watch it close. We can't offend God with this. Why come? Because we're going to see it at the last part of the verse. So what do you want? I ask you this morning, what do you want from God? Do you want God's blessings on your home, on your family, on your finances, on your children, on your health, on everything you touch? I don't know about you. It may sound a little odd, but I just assume God's blessings be everywhere I go, wouldn't you? That's what Jabez wanted. Jabez is in prayer, brother, and he's touching heaven. I'm going to tell you, his prayer was so powerful, God thought it was important to put it in His Word. And we see many prayers throughout the Word, and we see many answers. We see times when God said yes. We see times when God said no. Moses said, and we'll talk about this maybe later, but Moses said, Lord, one more time, I'd love to go over and see that land I've been waiting on for 40 years, putting up with these bunch of heathens. And God said, you can't do it. I told you at the waters of Meribah to speak to the rock. That was a type of Christ. He was smitten one time, never to be smitten again. They smote him. God said, smite it. He smote it. And we know what happened. Water came forth. But the second time he said, speak to it. You know what that speaks of? That speaks of our prayer life. Where we bring it to God. We ask God for it. We can't put Christ back on the cross. Don't smite the rock, Moses. Speak to the rock. But there ain't something about it. If Moses would have only spoke to the rock, he said, preacher, water come out anyway. I know. But he didn't have to smite it. That was the grace of God, the marvelous grace of God. That still well-watered his people. But he told him to speak to the rock. And when we come and ask the Lord, that's what he wants, isn't it? He said, ask him. Ask it to be given. Seek you'll find. Knock it'll be open. All these things. Jesus said, hitherto ye have asked me nothing. You hadn't asked me nothing. See, we're getting the heartbeat of God out of this because we see exactly where God esteems all this. I think if we could compile all of our prayer life here together today, and you could go back through the course of the week and bring a list, and preacher, I asked for these 47 things, and some say, well, I only asked for 8, and we piled them all up in a heap, I think it would still be nothing with the Lord. I do. All our prayer life compiled is nothing. We live so beneath our privileged church. I'm talking about we as a whole, the church world as a whole. We miss the blessing of God because we do not ask. We do not ask, but yet we do not believe. Jabez, watch him. What a blessed brother. Thine hand, you see people in the Word, you want to meet them one day when you get there. I like to talk to Jabez, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
Jabez, the Word said this. Keep me from evil, that thy hand might be with me, God. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil. There's the power of his prayer. Jabez's prayer wasn't for bigger landlines. Jabez's prayer wasn't for more documents down at the courthouse. Jabez's prayer was not that he'd have more parcels to pay taxes on. Jabez's prayer was that God would keep him from evil. That God would keep him. That thy hand might be with me. When the hand of God's on me, what do? I've got a great chance of doing the right thing. But when I'm outside of God's hand, when the hand of the Lord's not there, that thy hand might be with me. Is that what he prayed? He didn't say that your hand would be against me. He said that your hand would be with me and you'd keep me from evil. Why come? That it may not grieve me. Well, there's the power of the Christian walk. Sin is a grief. I read where in this whole matter of Jacob and Esau, in this whole matter, listen, Jacob, he did exactly what his mama told him to do. Let's give him a break where it's due. Yeah, people say, oh, well, Jacob, he was a rascal. He's a deceiving rascal. He shouldn't have did his poor daddy like that. He did exactly what his mama told him to do, and she said, do it quick. And so he did. That blessing was his, sir. That blessing was his, not from mama. That blessing was his from God. God knew through the eons of time what would be the course of Jacob's life and Esau's life. When God said this in Romans 9, he said, Jacob I love and Esau I hated. He wasn't quoting from Romans. God was quoting, Apostle Paul was quoting from Malachi. And Malachi wasn't quoting from Malachi. Malachi was quoting what was already done back in Genesis. God knew that Esau would be a God hater. He knew that. What determines our destiny is not that we're so predisposed before our birth. It's the decisions we make. He said, preacher, our salvation's not of choices. Salvation's of the Lord, absolutely. But God saves those whose heart is after Him. We find it all through the Word. And so it's not abracadabra, hocus pocus, I'm pegged before I got here. I'm going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. That's not it. It's how we live our life. It's decisions we make. It's choices we make. Say what you want to about Jacob. I know Jacob fled, and as quick as he fled, he knew Esau wanted to kill him. That wasn't strange to him. He left with the blessing of God, and Esau had a heart to kill him. And as soon as he got away from there, he cried out to God. And he stayed with God for 20 years. He stayed with God when things were going good and bad. He stayed with God when his father-in-law changed his wages 10 times. Stayed with God, didn't he? And he went back with God. And he was blessed of God. And this is why God said, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. God didn't have to wait to change this whole Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob stunt. He didn't have to wait and change that on the fly. He knew Abraham was his man. He knew Jacob was his. He knew Isaac was his. And so we find it that Jacob, getting back to the point, I almost lost what the point was, but here in this whole fleeing, remember this fleeing of Jacob's life. And so when Jacob left, what happened? You want to see the heart of Esau? He immediately went out and took him a wife of the Canaanites. And he knew it was a grief of mine to his mom and daddy. That's why he done it. He's showing you where his heart is. That's why God said, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. See, it's not wait and see. It's not this child at birth. What colors his hair depends on where he spends eternity. And it was a grief of mine. What did Jabez just pray? Keep me from evil that it might not grieve me. Sin's a grief. It's a grief to those that love us. It's a grief to those that we love. It's a grief. How many people live with things, me included, we love to go back and change? We love to go back and undo. Why? Because it's a grief. People live with things that they cannot overcome, even to the point they take their own life. It's a grief to them. Sin, what does it do? It grieves our prayer life, doesn't it? When we are out of fellowship, Brother Raymond did a great job of talking about the fellowship with the Father. And when we are out of fellowship, what happens? It grieves us even to the point of our prayer life, even to where we are powerless in prayer. Amen. And until we get the sin eradicated out, we can't. Watch it. You say, preacher, I ain't so sure it's true. Take Judas in the same 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. Judas, what did he do? He committed a grievous sin and he knew it. He took that money. You said it's all about the money. That money meant nothing to Judas. Judas went in and the word said he took those 30 pieces of silver and he cast them down and he said, these things, and they said it's the price of blood. We can't put it in the treasure. And he threw it down, went up and he hung himself. That's what sin will do. Jabez said, keep me from evil that it might not grieve me. I don't want to be grieved by sin. You know, Satan paints sin to make it look good. You know, he'll show you that good, nice looking, rugged cowboy with a big white hat sitting on top of the Rocky Mountains pulling on a Marlboro. But he won't show you that dying mama or daddy or grandpa that's gasping for air with one lung removed and the other ain't working right. They won't show you what sin will do. It will grieve you. Satan will never tell you that, will he? And this is what Jabez, he's king to this somehow. I think it's back in the first verse we read where the word said he was more honorable than his brethren. You know what I find amazing about God? Is God does not care about our financial stature. He does not care about our social stature. He does not care about the color of our skin. Red, yellow, black, white. Your hair may be straight. It may be kinky. God just don't care. Does he? Red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. And Jacob, Jabez was more honorable. But what made him more honorable? Did you know that you and I, you may be short, you may be tall, you may be skinny, you may be plump. This is no place for a rib, elbow. Jabez was more honorable because of his prayer life, because of his heart's desire, because of the choices he made. And you, sir, and you, ma'am, can have all of God's best, and you can have it all right now because of what it means to honor him. He was more honorable. He was more honorable than his brethren. I don't know anything about his brethren, but I know something about Jabez, don't you? Quickly, watch this. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Why? That it may not grieve me. And if you look close, that is an exclamation point. I think he meant that. I believe Jabez has watched some hardships in his family. You know, I think that something ought to drive us to serve God better is watching hardships that happen to others. You know, there's two ways we learn. We can learn a lesson by watching somebody else's mistakes, or we can make those same ones ourselves and learn the other way. God gives us examples and ensamples. Paul used the word ensample. He gives us those all around us. And he was more honorable than his brethren, not because he was any better than they, but because of choices he made. Watch now. And God granted him that which he requested. That's a blessing. And God granted him. You know, when people are granted immunity, when people are granted, we have a lady in our neighborhood, and she talks with tears in her eyes. She was illegal. And so she went through the system and took her a long, long time to become legal. But with tears in her eyes, she would talk about what that meant. When she was granted citizenship. Brother, we're not citizens of this country. When God saves us, He grants us citizenship into another country. And she talked about that and what that meant. And Jabez, all he done was pray the right prayer. All he done was say the right things. All he done was call on the right God. He was not down at the sorcerer's house. He was not like Saul at the witch of Endor's place. No, Saul became so powerless. You want to see what happens when men and women become powerless in prayer? They will find themselves down at the fortune teller's place trying to find the will of God. You can't find it there. No, he called on the God of Israel, the right God. He wasn't calling on the God Dagon. Remember Dagon, the Philistine God, the fish God? He wasn't calling on him. He called on the God of Israel. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me. You know, if God doesn't go with us, we ought not want to go, had we? You know, there were some that speak like that in the Word. If you'll go with me, I'll go. But if you're not going, I'll stay right here. See, our heart ought to be so in tune with God, we can pray this prayer. And it's not a prayer that we read, it's a prayer that we feel. It is a prayer God will honor. You know what He will do? He will do exactly what He did for Jabez. And God granted him that which he requested. There's no partiality with Him. There's no respect of persons with God, is there? Red, yellow, black, or white, just doesn't matter to Him. Tall, round, short, freckled, tan, God don't care. All these things don't matter. He will grant the request if we ask Him. And we ask Him out of a pure heart. And we ask Him according to His will. Now, we ain't got time to get back into that. I think we shared something about that. But I want to tell you, if you want three verses to hang your hat on, go over to John, 1 John 5, 14-15 sometime. You don't have to do it now. And talk about these two verses. Where He said something about this. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to whose will? His will. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth who? Us. He heareth us. You wonder why God granted Jabez prayer? It's according to His will. God said, hallelujah. Here's a young man who wants to walk after me. Wants my blessings. Wants my forgiveness. Wants my mercy. Wants me to enlarge him. Wants me to do all these things on his behalf. I think I'll do it. He granted it. I ain't making this stuff up. God granted him that which he requested. Boy, it ought to bless you. You know what that means? Let's take it on a different level. You know what that means? We all have things we have to deal with, and I don't know what you're dealing with, but it tells me something out of God's Word. If I want what's right, and I'm praying for what's right, and I'm seeking God for His blessing, there is not anything withholding from me. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing's withholding from me. Nothing He won't give me. And I don't care they call it the demons or call it the sins, whatever you want to call it. I don't care what the demons are that rule you and control you. There's nothing my God won't give you power over. Amen. Nothing. I don't care if it's crack, meth, or if they made up a new drug overnight. It just don't matter. God's bigger than all those things. Yes. Prescription medication. It don't matter. Cigarettes, tobacco, alcohol. Tell me what God can't break the yoke from. There's nothing He can't do. Amen. And if I believe that, now those are just the things people see. What about the things people can't see? Well, that's getting down to the good part now. What about those things, Brother Raymond touched on, hidden down in the heart, in old dark places of the heart of man. And they rise. And we put them to rest. And they rise. Now, I understand that's old nature. I get that. Paul said something about this in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he said, I thank God. And he began to talk about Jesus. You know who's going to deliver us from the body of this death? Jesus. But I'm talking about the things that are so detrimental, and you know it. God's ringing them in your heart right now. You know there are things that you need to bring to the altar and leave them there and give them up and walk off like Jabez and believe God for them. There are things like that. There are things like that if you don't deal with, it's going to ruin you. It's going to ruin your home. It's going to ruin your marriage. It's going to ruin your children. It's going to ruin your grandbabies.
Yeah.
And on. Your witness is going to be destroyed if you don't deal with that God's put his hand on right now. See, we have to. I'm closed. God granted him that which he requested. Last thing we was talking about was 1 John 5:14-15. I give you the first part and give you the second. And this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, what does he do? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, here's the famous three words I pray you don't lose. If we know that he heareth us, he used them back in 1 John 3:20-22. If we know that he hears us, write this down, these profound words, brother. Whatsoever we ask. Is that the way your Bible reads? You better believe it's the way it reads. Whatsoever we ask, we know. 21 times God said it in 1 John, we know, we know, we know. There's no doubt, brother. No doubt about his word. No doubt about his promises. No doubt about what he'll do. He said, we know. And if we do these things, we know we have the petition we desired of him. I thank Jabez, in closing, Brother Rick, Sister Piano Player, I believe Jabez knew in his heart something about 1 John 5:14-15 before it was ever wrote. You know how he knew it? He's worshiping the same God Apostle John worshiped. He was worshiping that God that does not change. He was worshiping him that has no beginning of days nor end of life. He was worshiping him that said, let it be, and it was. That's how Jabez knew it. That's how he felt it. And let's go back to the first verse we read. That's what made Jabez more honorable. Brother, this is what I love. That a 19-year-old heathen like me, wretched, wicked of heart, perverted of mind, out there. Listen, I told you, time wouldn't tell, and I wouldn't dirty your ears with all the stuff that God would give a person like that a brand new start.
Amen.
And if there's any honor to be had, how do we get it? Why was Jabez more honorable? He believed God.
Amen.
What marked Abraham's life? He believed God. Same thing that marks ours. As we stand, you've been sitting a while.
Amen.